Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember, we have Ram Goldar, and today we're Sechus Erevin Daf Yud Zayin. So the three topics we want to focus on. Number one, there's machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak regarding the status of an inferior enclosure when the number of occupants changes during Shabbos, such as in a case of Shloshu Umeis Echamehem, three people occupied the enclosure and then one died, or Shnai Min Tosvel Lehem, two people occupied an enclosure of more than two Beisah, which is forbidden to them, and then one person joined them. One holds Shabbos Goremus. Shabbos caused the validity or the invalidity of the partition, meaning that the status remains the same as it was at the start of Shabbos. The other one holds Diurin Gormim. The current number of residents causes the validity or the invalidity of the partition. The Gemara concludes that it is Rav Huna who holds that Shabbos Goremus, based on a case where two chatzeros were joined in an Erev, via their entrance, and the entrance became sealed on Shabbos, and a case where they joined through a window, and the window became sealed on Shabbos, about which Rav Huna ruled, Shabbos hoyel v'hutra hutra. Once carrying on Shabbos was permitted, it remains permitted. Point number two was stated in a brisa. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Teva ruled regarding soldiers, makom shenel ragim sham nikbarim. In the place that they are killed, they are buried. The Gemara asks, why was it necessary to teach this, since it's obvious, given that there are meis mitzvah, and meis mitzvah kona makomo? An unattended corpse acquires the site where he dies. And the Gemara answers that the fallen soldier acquires the site where he dies, even if he has relatives to attend to his burial. The Gemara brings a brisa that asks, Ezu meis mitzvah, which dead person qualifies as a meis mitzvah, that anyone present is obligated to bury him? The Gemara answers, Kol she'ein lo kovrin, whoever has no barriers, meaning any relatives to attend to his burial needs. Kori v'acherim onno so ein ze meis mitzvah, if he would call for help, and heirs would answer him to attend his burial, he's not considered a meis mitzvah. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that soldiers are exempt from the obligation of washing their hands before a meal. Abaye said, Loshanu elamayim rishonim. The Mishnah only taught that they're exempt from washing before the meal. Avamayim achronim chova. However, the washing after the meal is obligatory even for soldiers. Rav Chiya bar Ashi said that the reason the mayim achronim is a chiyuv is, Mifnei shemelk stomis yeshem masam eseinayim, because there's a salt from Sodom that blinds the eyes. Washing ensures that one does not have any salt on his fingers from the food that he ate that could possibly harm him. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi if this law of mayim achronim also applies to one who measures salt, or is it only pertinent to eating a meal? And Rav Ashi answered that it is no question that one who measures salt should also wash his hands. So once again, the three points are number one. There's a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak regarding the status of an inferior enclosure when the number of occupants changes during Shabbos, such as the case of Shlosha Umeis Echamehem, three people occupied the enclosure and then one died, or Shnai Min Tosvel Lehem, two people occupied an enclosure of more than two Beisah, which is forbidden to them, and then one person joined them. One holds that Shabbos Goremus, Shabbos caused the validity or the invalidity of the partition, meaning that the status remains the same as it was at the start of Shabbos. The other one holds that Diurin Gormim, the current number of residents causes the validity of the invalidity of the partition. The Gemara concludes that it is Rav Huna who holds that Shabbos Goremus, based on a case where two chetzeros were joined in an Erev via their entrance, and the entrance became sealed on Shabbos, and a case where they were joined through a window, and the window became sealed on Shabbos, about which Rav Huna ruled, Shabbos hoyel v'hutra hutra, once carrying on Shabbos, was permitted, it remains permitted. Point number two, it was stated in the brisa that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema ruled regarding soldiers, makom shenel ragim sham nikbarim. In the place that they are killed, they are buried. The Gemara asks why it was necessary to teach this, since it's obvious given that they are meis mitzvah, and meis mitzvah kona makomo, an unintended corpse acquires the site where he dies. And the Gemara answers that the fallen soldier acquires the site where he dies, even if he has relatives to attend to his burial. The Gemara brings up Bryson and asks, Ezu hu meis mitzvah, which dead person qualifies as a meis mitzvah, that anyone present is obligated to bury him? The Gemara answers, Kol she'ein lo kovrin, whoever has no barriers, meaning any relatives to attend to his burial needs. Korat v'acherin onin oso ein ze meis mitzvah, if he would call for help, and heirs would answer him to attend to his burial, he's not considered a meis mitzvah. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that soldiers are exempt from the obligation of washing their hands before a meal. Abaye said, Loshanu elamayim rishonim. The Mishnah only taught that they are exempt from washing before the meal. Avamayim achronim chova. However, the washing after the meal is obligatory even for soldiers. Rav Chiya bar Ashi said that the reason that mayim achronim is a chiyuv is, Mifnei shemelk stomis yeshem asam eseinayim, because there's a salt from Sodom that blinds the eyes. Washing ensures that one doesn't have any salt in his fingers from the food that he ate that could possibly harm him. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi if this law of mayim achronim also applies to one who measures salt, or is it only pertinent to eating a meal? And Rav Ashi answered that it is no question that one who measures salt should also wash his hands. All right, so now we go to our siman for Yud Zayin, and the siman is a used car, and we're going to use a used car salesman for the siman. So here goes. For the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help burying a soldier who suddenly died after binding himself with salt from his unwashed hands. Once again, in slow motion. For the first time in his life, the used car salesman, that must mean we're on Duff Yud Zayin. For the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help burying a soldier who suddenly died, which reminds us of the question of the status of an inferior enclosure when the number of occupants change, and the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak, whether Shabbos Goremes, meaning the status of the enclosure is determined at the start of Shabbos, or Diyurin Gormin, the current number of people in the enclosure determine its status. So for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help, burying a soldier who suddenly died, which reminds us that soldiers are buried where they are killed, and the definition of a mace mitzvah is someone who has no heirs to attend to his burial. So for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help burying a soldier who suddenly died after binding himself with salt from his unwashed hands. Which reminds us that my machronim is a chova, the reason being that melch snomis left on the fingers might come to blind the person, and therefore even someone who measures salt should wash his hands afterwards. So once again, for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted when he was welcomed by two guys in a roped-off enclosure who needed help burying a soldier who suddenly died after binding himself with salt from his unwashed hands. All right, now it's time for our four blah-bah chazara. Daf Yud Gimel. So the siman for Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who was laning the parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased, which reminds us there's a machlokes in a braisa regarding putting kanketom into ink, which makes it impossible to completely erase the ink, in order to write the parsha of Sota in a Sefer Torah. Rav Yudah said that Rav Meir used to say that one may put kanketom into ink for writing a Sefer Torah except for the parsha of Sota. Rabbi Yaakov said in Rabbi Meir's name that it may be used to write the Parsha of the Sota as well, but not for writing the Parsha of Sota that was used in the base of Migdash for the Sota waters. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the practical difference between them is whether it's valid to erase the Psukim from a regular Sefer Torah in the bitter waters of the Sota. In order for the Psukim to be valid to be used for the bitter waters that a Sota must drink, it must be words that are able to be erased. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that Psukim from regular Sefer Torah are valid to be used, to be put inside the Sota waters, one cannot put kanketom into the ink. According to Rabbi Yaakov, however, they are not valid, and therefore the psukim of a regular Sefer Torah may be written with ink that has kanketom in it. Only the parts of the Sota that was used within the base of Migdash may be used. Therefore, it's only these psukim that may not be written with kanketom. So the bar mitzvah boy who was laying the parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochah to have great teachers, which reminds Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that he was originally Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he wasn't able to discern his final psak, given Rabbi Akiva's ability to defend both sides of a position. He went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, but Gemara, to learn the various traditions, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva, Vesarva Savora. He studied them with great analysis. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina said that there was none in the generation like Rabbi Meir, but they didn't fix the halach leichem because his chaverim could not fathom the depths of his reasoning, for he could assert effectively that something tamei was tahor, and vice versa. Rebbe said that the reason that he was sharper than his chaverim is that he saw Rebbe Meir from behind, and if he had seen the front of him, he would be even sharper. So the bar mitzvah boy who was laying the parsha sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochah to have great teachers and always exemplify the midos of Beis Hillel. Which reminds the Gemara asks why Beis Hillel merited to have the halacha fixed according to their view, and answers because they were agreeable and forbearing, showing restraint when they were challenged, but showing and they would study their opinion and the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Rashi explains they would make great effort to show how the psukim that Beis Shammai brought as proofs could be understood differently. And not only that, but they would even quote the words of Beis Shammai before their own. Daf Yadal. So the siman for Daf Yadal is hands, and we're going to use a juggler because he has very skilled hands. So here goes. The juggler. Juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yadalad. The juggler is doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick, an ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the cord to be one tefach in width. In a brace on this daf, it was taught, if one placed two twin cords over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other cord is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they're invalid and another korah must be used. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise so that the distance between their outer edges measures three tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water, which reminds that the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel on base also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding an ariach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule that kol sheyesh be'akefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of three tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source for this principle is learned from the Yamshel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash of the Kohanim to use for Tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rabbi Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water next to the lechi in the middle of the mavui. Which reminds us, a braisa taught, Asa lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so the lechi stands in the middle of the side wall instead of the front, he can only carry the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa needed to teach the seemingly obvious point, the Gemara answered that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that it's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. Daf Tesvav. So the Simfer Tesvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The strange scene of a fruit bowl. Fruit bowl, that must be more on Daf Tesvav. The strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, which reminds us that there's a Malchokas Marmar regarding lechi omed me'ilav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of a mavui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mavui, such as a tree. Abai said it's valid, and Rava says it's not. The Gemara clarifies that everybody agrees that it's not a valid lechi when they didn't intend to use it as a lechi Erev Shabbos, as they were planning on using another lechi that subsequently fell. The Malchokas is in the case where they intended Erev Shabbos to use it as a lechi. After determining through a number of proofs that Abai and Rava agree that a mechitza that was not originally erected as a mechitza is valid, the Gemara concludes that Abai says the lechi is valid because he holds a lechi serves as a mechitza. And Rava says it's invalid because he holds a lechi serves as a heker, and it will only serve as a reminder if it was originally erected as a lechi. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces a number of machokasim regarding using living things for lechis, tomb covers, and gittin. Regarding gittin, the Tanakhama holds, Kosin alav gittin nashim, one may write a get on living things, Rav Yosi Aglili poso, and Rav Yosi Aglili invalidates such a get. Now the Gemara explains that both the Tanakhama and Rav Yosi Aglili derive the halacha from the same pasuk, v'kasav la sefer krisos, and he shall write for her a bill of divorce. Rav Yosi Aglili learns from v'kasav la that one may write it on any type of writing surface, not just parchment, whereas sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Rabbanan learned that v'kasav la means she cannot be divorced with money, and sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'alma hudasa, that it should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to their encampment. Which reminds, the next mission teaches that if a shayar shachansa babika, a caravan encamped in an area of open fields, which is considered a karmelis, that surrounded itself with animal trappings, such as saddles and saddlebags to serve as partitions, one may carry within it, provided that she had gadar gavo asar tefachim, the partition must be 10 tefachim high. The total gap should not be more than the total walls. And kol pirtzah shikasur amos mutaris mifnei shikah pesach. An opening of 10 amos is considered a doorway and they can carry there. More than 10 amos is considered a pirtzah, a breach, and carrying would be forbidden. Daf Tazayin. So the symbol for Tazayin is toes. So here goes. The lone camper, after measuring three different size mechitzos with his toes, that must mean we're on Daf Tazayin. The lone camper, after measuring three different size mechitzos with his toes, which reminds us on Daf Tez Vavam and Beis, a machok is introduced regarding parts ka'omet, if the gaps in a partition equal the wall portion. Rav Papa says it is mutted to carrying the area enclosed by such partitions, whereas Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, says it is forbidden. As part of the Gemara's analysis to determine who the halakha goes according to, in Ardaf, a brisa regarding kolayim is brought that presents shosh midas b'mechitzos, three categories or partitions that permit planting something next to another planting, which would be kolayim when planted next to each other without a partition. So category number one, whenever the solid sections are less than three tefachim, it's necessary that the gap in between the sections should not be three tefachim wide, kadei shlo yistakir gadi b'bas rosh, so that a kid goat cannot leap headlong through the partition, which would cancel lavud from working. The gap, though, can be wider than the solid portions. Category number two, when the solid portions are between 3 and 4 tefachim, the gaps cannot be as wide as the sections themselves. And if the gaps are even wider than the solid portions, then it is prohibited to plant even opposite the walled portions. And category number three, when the solid portions are between 4 tefachim and 10 amos, the gap cannot be as wide as the solid portions. If it is, then it's permitted to plant opposite the solid portions, but prohibited to plant opposite the gaps. Rashi explains that a walled section that is 4 tefachim wide is considered to be independently significant. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead to enclose his encampment, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a caravan may surround its encampment with three horizontal ropes, one above the other, provided there is not a gap between the ropes of 3 tefachim for the purpose of lavud to take effect, and that the total thickness of the ropes is more than 1 tefach, so that the height of the mechitza is at least 10 tefachim. It's also permitted to surround the caravan with vertical poles, provided that the gaps between the poles do not exceed 3 tefachim in order for lavud to take effect. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzas with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead to enclose his encampment. That was not greater than 2 basal, which reminds us, the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, who said that the inferior partitions of ropes and poles are only permitted for caravans, but not for individuals, and a bright where Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol mechitzah Shabbos lo hitiru yachid yosim beis asayim. The Chachamim did not permit these inferior Shabbos partitions for individuals in an area that encloses more than 2 basal. This implies that these partitions are permitted to individuals if it is 2 basal. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was forbidding these partitions for individuals only if the enclosed area was greater than 2 beis saw. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions on the Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do you learn that soldiers are buried where they are killed? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 2, which stuff do you learn about whether twin korahs with the combined width less than a tefach are valid as a korah? That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 3, which stuff do you learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds an individual can use ropes or poles to enclose an area no greater than 2 beis saw? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we machlokes is whether the status of an inferior enclosure is determined by the start of Shabbos or by the current number of residents there? That's on Daf Yudzayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we machlokes is whether one can write a get on a living thing? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that my machronim is a chova because of Melch Sodomis? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn the rule for finding the diameter of a round object comes from the Yom Shel Shlomo? That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn the machlokas about whether kankatom can be put into the ink for the parsha of Sota? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn caravans can use horizontal ropes or vertical poles to create mechitzos? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you have machlokes with three different opinions regarding what is required to adjust a mavui sasum? That's on Daf Yudov. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Which stuff do you learn about Yad Saletis Bo? That's on Daf Mem and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that Takanas Ezra was modeled after Har Sinai? That's on Daf Chaf and Brachos. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you discuss moving a corpse out of the sun and the Malchok is about Tiltum and Tzad? That's on Daf Mem Gimel and Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.